What up, world? It's your past first point guard and Blazer beat writer Mike Richmond. You're listening to another episode of Locked On Blazers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, available wherever you get podcasts. We're through three preseason games, really two, because the Blazers rested everybody in the second preseason game against Maccabi Haifa. But after seeing two real preseason games in the exhibition season, I want to talk about what we've seen so far, just my observations about just the team as a whole and some player-specific stuff that I've seen through two real games and another game that they also played. I want to talk about a little bit what we've learned. I think for the most part, Terry Stotts has tipped his hand about what the rotation is going to look like. I want to talk about that more in depth, specifically what to expect from the rotation and those types of things. And then in the third segment, I want to talk a little bit about what else we might need to see, if anything, from the Blazers. But let's start with kind of what we've learned after two games. Look, it's not three games. The game against Haifa where the Blazers didn't play Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum or Hassan Whiteside and they rested Kent Bazemore and Rodney Hood down the stretch doesn't count. We didn't learn anything. We saw a bunch of camp guys play. But the other two games, we've learned some stuff. And I think it's probably too early to draw sweeping conclusions, but there's some things we've definitely seen, some things we can start to draw conclusions about, start to sort of get ideas about. First of all, flat out, the Blazers haven't looked good. They've looked bad in preseason. In the first game against Denver, I kind of was quick to brush it off. That was a tough game just because Denver has a ton of continuity. Even without Nikola Jokic, they've got eight guys in the rotation who are familiar with each other. The other player they've added, Jeremy Grant, is sort of a high-energy preseason bruiser type guy. But nonetheless, that's a team that's familiar with each other. I'm not surprised that they handled a Blazer team that was largely unfamiliar with each other. I was easily able to brush that off. But the Phoenix game was more troubling because not only are the Suns bad, they're a bad team. They're not going to be a playoff team this year. They're probably better than last season, sure. But they're not going to be good. They're not going to be one of the good teams. And then they didn't play their three best players. Ricky Rubio sat out, DeAndre Ayton sat out, Devin Booker sat out. So this was a game against the Suns backups, and the Blazers basically got their ass kicked from the moment the game started. The first 4 minutes, first 6 minutes of the game, the Blazers were just terrible on defense. They weren't playing hard, admittedly. Zach Collins said that, and that they talked about it at halftime, that they just did not play hard to begin the game. Whatever you want to point to the reason for what that might be, that's fine. Lack of focus because it's a veteran team in the preseason, not respecting the opponent, whatever. It doesn't, the reason doesn't matter, but the fact is they just didn't play hard and play well. And then their defense just got shredded all night. The Suns shot really well from three. They made 24 threes. Still not going to look at the box score. I promise I'll do box score things and I'll have real like hard stats when the games count. But I want to talk more just sort of like in general in the preseason. So no box score, still abiding by that rule. But the Suns rained down threes on this team. They shredded them on defense in the first half. That was troubling. The Blazers also turned the ball over a ton in this game. Some of it was they're calling travels a little tighter. In the preseason they will during the regular season. So there was probably three travels in there in the 20-plus turnovers they had and some moving screens and stuff like that. But they're just general, they were sloppy in that game. Their defense was terrible in that game. And while the Suns made, you know, I think ended up making more than half their threes, they shot better than 50% from three, but they got a ton of wide-open looks, particularly early in that game. Hassan Whiteside, who I'll talk a little bit more about in the second segment, he was just sagging back in the paint and giving up open threes to Kaminsky and Aaron Baines, big guys who can shoot. Blazers just, they didn't look good. And the Suns aren't good. So looking bad against a bad team, resting players on a game where Damian Lillard played 30 minutes, CJ McCollum played 30 minutes, Hassan Whiteside played relatively close to what he'll play like during the regular season. You know, they didn't close the game. But for the first three quarters, this was the Blazers team minus Rodney Hood. This was the Blazers we will see in the regular season minus Rodney Hood. Hood was ruled out right before tip-off of that game with back spasms. No update on his status, but I imagine he'll be available next week. I believe just didn't mention anything about it. When we get more info, you'll find it here. Hood was not in the locker room after the game. But that Suns game was troubling to me because we don't have a lot of data to suggest that the Blazers are going to be good yet. We have what we believe. I think this is a team that will push towards 50 wins. This team thinks they can win a championship. They're talking about Larry O'Brien trophies in Portland. So there's some reason to believe. They've got talented players. Damian Lillard didn't play that well. CJ McCollum looked fine. We'll talk about them in the second segment too. But through two real preseason games, when the starters have been on the floor, they haven't looked that good. So the state of the union right now with the Blazers is that they look kind of stinky. And Damian Lillard admitted as much after the game. Zach Collins was very open about it when I talked to him. Terry Stotts was totally upfront. He's usually very cautious about being critical of his team, and he was upfront about, you know, we haven't played well. It is what it is. We haven't played well in preseason. But Dame went into a pretty nuanced thing about how they need to play harder and they need to play smarter and they need to be locked in from the beginning and they can't take teams for granted and they can't do all these things and they just have to, you know, he said, training camp, we've been so good and so sharp and run things and we get out here and we're not in the right spots or guys take away our first option and we don't run into the second one and just kind of little execution things on offense and defense where playing against a new opponent has kind of slowed them down. And he admitted that that's kind of unacceptable and all these things. It was a thoughtful answer by Damian Lillard, who's someone who gives thoughtful answers regularly. And then when the camera stopped, he also said, it's easy to say it's preseason, but we haven't played well. You know, it's an easy excuse to say that it's preseason, but that's not a fair excuse. And then after he gave this long, nuanced response and took responsibility and kind of did the leadership thing that he's so good at, he cracked a big smile and said, but it is still preseason, and everyone in the locker room laughed. Got a real rise out of the media members. Personally thought it was a great line. Good job, Dave. Got a chuckle out of me. But there's some truth in everything he said. They haven't played well. And I want to talk about this more in the third segment is, do they need to play well? I think that's the question I want to try to answer in the third segment. But through two games, I was concerned that this team was going to get a little bit worse on defense. They look way worse on defense. I was concerned that they have a road-heavy early schedule and that they're kind of a new team and it might take them a while to learn each other. They look sloppy on offense. They don't look good. I don't think preseason matters. I don't think it matters. I don't remember what happened in preseason last year with the Blazers. I don't care about these games, really. But I know that this is all I have to draw on right now, and what I have to draw on right now isn't super positive. I'll probably not remember this in 2 weeks, so I'm not going to overreact, but I do think sort of the state of the union, the Blazers' progress up to this point, isn't super promising. It can change really quickly. When the regular season comes, 3 minutes in, if they look good, I won't care about this first segment of the podcast where I said they look bad, and you shouldn't either. But I think we should all admit, if you're listening and you're mad at me for being negative, first of all, if you listen to the podcast, y'all, this is my element. But they haven't looked good, point blank, period. We should all admit that. Cool? We're cool? All right, let's talk in this next segment about specifics. I want to talk Hassan Whiteside, Mario Hezonja, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard. I want to talk specifically about what we've seen from players and what we've seen from Terry Stotts, because I think he's tipped his hand a little bit about what the rotation should look like. But first, I want to tell you guys about Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Check it out. All right, so I gave you my Blazers State of the Union. It was admittedly a little bit negative. I'm sorry. But they haven't looked good, and I wanted to be real about it. I'm not sorry, also. That was a lie. But I want to talk about specifics. And I think we should start with the big one. We're going to start with the big one. I make the rules here. Hassan Whiteside is perhaps the biggest question mark lingering over this team. What he's going to bring. Blazers veterans will tell you that he's been killing it in practice and they're really excited for what he could be. But I thought in the first game against Denver he was kind of bad. You know, he's still dealing with
ankle injury and a brand new team, and it was preseason, and I was I'm ready to forget about that game. But I thought in the first 4 minutes against the Suns, he was not engaged at all defensively. He was not good. A little bit later on, he kind of showed some stuff, exploited some switches, posted up, caught the ball inside, made some nice plays. Looked a little bit more like a player. Had a big block where he got way up high to block it off the glass and spring a fast break, led to a three in transition. He hasn't looked great yet. He might not ever look great, but I thought he ended the way he ended the game against Phoenix. The Blazers didn't play particularly well, like I've said, but I thought he was trending in the right direction by the end of the game against Phoenix. I am not, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I'm not a huge Whiteside believer. His first, whatever, 18 minutes of preseason didn't sway me, but I'm holding out hope. Blazers players have told me he's going to be really good. NBA players know more than me. I will wait. We have plenty of time to make that judgment. But the early returns haven't exactly been dominant. We will wait for him to get to dominant before praising him. The other newcomers that I've been impressed by, I think Kent Bazemore is going to be really useful for this team. His energy on defense, his speed with the ball on offense, threw a couple passes. One that just CJ wasn't ready for, but it was a great pass. He has a lot of tools. He can shoot. Didn't shoot it well last year. Hasn't numbers wise. I don't believe he's shooting that well in preseason, but. Knocked down a couple in transition, good wide open looks, confidently stepped into. I think he's going to be useful. He's been pretty good. CJ McCollum looked awesome against the Suns on offense. Talk a little bit more of him in a second when we talk about rotations, but he's ready. I don't need to see much from him. Damian Lillard hasn't looked great, but I'm not worried about Dame. There's nothing he could do in preseason that makes me worry about him. If he's healthy, he's going to be one of the 10 best players in the league. His floor for this season is like he's top 15 in the league. Uh-oh, he dropped to 15th. That's a worst-case scenario. I'm not worried about Dame, so I'm not going to spend any time on him. Hasn't looked like a dominant player in preseason. I'll wait till the games count. The other big one, that Mario Hezonja, I think, is definitely part of the rotation. If you've been listening to these podcasts, you know that I kind of thought he might have been right on the cusp. Now, the more I spend time around the team, Mario's going to play. And just my thoughts on him, briefly, is that in transition, in the open floor, he looks awesome. His speed with the ball, his size, his strength to get past people when the floor is open and there's big lanes for him to move through and navigate through, he looks awesome in the open floor. I don't think he's looked as good in the half court. They're asking him to play a little bit of small forward and a little bit of power forward, sometimes as initiator on offense, other times as just a wing. Don't think he has a super strong grasp of what the Blazers or how he's going to get his points in the Blazers half-court offense. He'll get there. But right now he hasn't shown it yet. He's got more learning to do. He hasn't been around the team that long. He hasn't played many organized games with him. But I think he's going to be a force in the open floor if the Blazers can get out and run. I think his limitations are much more obvious in the half-court setting. Those are my specifics on players. But I do think one thing we've learned is who's going to play this year. Starting lineup looks virtually a lock, but the big question for me is Pau Gasol's health. If Pau's healthy, he's your backup center. He's going to play. But we haven't seen indications that Pau Gasol's healthy. The past two games at Moda Center, he's gone through a light shooting routine. I've watched him warm up. He's not going super hard like someone who's about to play in the game, but also, to be fair, I'm not super familiar with his warm-up routine. He might be one of those dudes who just doesn't go that hard pregame. So that might be what he looks like. Some guys get out in a full sweat pregame. Other dudes just get shots up, stretch a little bit, call it good. He's 39. He probably knows what he needs. Played 19. This is 19th season in the league. Pau knows what he needs. So, but it's what I have seen in pregame. Doesn't look like he's favoring the ankle or anything like that. He's just going through a light shooting routine. Getting shots up. Running a little pick-and-pop stuff, you know, just doing the things you do, getting game-type shots up. Not going full speed, but like I said, I don't know if he ever goes full speed in warm-ups. Might not be one of those guys. But what we haven't seen is him wearing a jersey and playing. Which, he's the biggest wrinkle for this team. He's the question mark about where it all fits. If he plays, he's your backup center, and the Blazers, I think, go 10 deep. And it'll be Dame, CJ, Rodney Hood, Zach Collins, Hassan Whiteside, Anthony Simons, Kent Bazemore, Hezonja, Anthony Tolliver, Pau Gasol. Those are your 10 guys. If Pau doesn't play, I do think there is a possibility. I don't think it's likely or anything like that, but I do think it's a possibility that Stotts starts Anthony Tolliver at the 4 so he can use Zach Collins at the 5. And one of the reasons I think this is because Terry Stotts has made a strong point to play Zach and Scal together. He's mentioned it several times. He's tested it out a bunch. And generally speaking, the last 4 or 5 seasons, the post-LaMarcus years, the past 4 seasons, he has used basically 2 pairings of bigs together. Your starting center is starting power forward, and you sub those 2 out, and you bring in a backup center, backup power forward together. He doesn't really stagger those groups. They kind of, like last year, Alfa Rukamina played almost all of his minutes next to Nurk when those 2 were healthy together. And then off the bench, it would be Zach and Myers as a pairing. Or Zach and Iskander eventually as a pairing. So him looking at that group, him looking at the Zach and Scal group, leads me to believe that maybe Terry is considering, if Pau isn't healthy, moving Zach to the backup center spot. Gives Blazers more defense on that second unit, keeps them big. They don't have to play Mario Hezonja at 4. I mean, he's big enough to play 4, but it keeps them really big with 2 7-footers. Terry's made a point of testing out the Scal and Zach looks. The other thing he showed us is the stagger with Dame and CJ is coming back. CJ was an early sub. In that game against Phoenix, Anthony Tolliver started. Stotts said he wanted to get a look at Anthony playing with Hassan Whiteside and Dame and CJ. It's another indicator that he might be considering it if Pal's not healthy. That is on the table, I'm telling you guys, for sure. But also in that game against Phoenix, CJ was an early sub. He came out after about 6 minutes, which is in the past when the Dame and CJ sort of stagger when CJ was the de facto backup point guard. CJ would come out at about 6 minutes. Dame would play till about the 10-minute mark. Then you bring CJ back in. So one of them is always on the court. We saw that against Phoenix. They played basically a regular rotation, or what I assume is going to be something akin to the regular rotation in those first 3 quarters. CJ is the backup point guard. That means he spends a lot of minutes on the floor with him and Anthony, those 2 together. Gary Trent Jr. played in that game, but if Rodney Hood is healthy, you can just imagine those minutes being Kent Bazemore's and Kent Bazemore's minutes being Rodney Hood's and Gary Trent not being part of the plan. But that means Scal is part of the plan. If Powell isn't healthy, I think Terry Stotts still goes 10 deep. I think Scal is part of the plan as your backup center, and I think there's a chance Anthony Tolliver starts. We've started to see hints of it from Terry Stotts. We'll see more on Tuesday. The Blazers are going to play against the Utah Jazz. Terry has not outright said it, but he's hinted that that game might be what he called a dry run, what I'll call a dress rehearsal, something that looks like the regular season. Dame and CJ pushing about 33, 34, maybe 35 minutes. Everyone getting regular run. Nobody's going to play in the Blazers' last preseason game against Denver, so this is your last chance to kind of see this group against Utah. But what I want to talk about in the third segment is, do we need to see the Blazers play well? Does it matter if they play well in the preseason? They haven't played well. I've been emphatic that they haven't played well. They've looked bad. But do they need to play well? Do we need to see something? That's what I want to talk about in the third segment. All right, still Locked On Blazers, still Mike Richmond. Still talking Blazers preseason stuff. We're overreacting to things that don't matter. Maybe I'm reacting correctly to things that don't matter, but I am convinced that they don't matter. Preseason doesn't matter. And I say that to set up this question. Is it important that the Blazers play well? If they run everybody out there against the Jazz, if Terry runs a 10-man rotation, and we see what opening night might look like with his substitution pattern and his 2 guards splitting time, and Anthony Simons getting his run, and Scal and Zach playing together, and Hassan Whiteside getting 30 minutes. Like, does it matter if they play well against Utah? And if Utah doesn't run everyone out there and the Blazers don't dominate the Jazz, does it matter? I don't think so. Straight up. I don't think it matters. I will say this. With teams with continuity,
like the Blazers have had the last three seasons when they've been returning a ton of minutes, a ton of starters, all their top scorers, and pretty much just reconfiguring the back half of the rotation with a handful of players, with the Seth Currys of the world. Then I really don't think preseason matters, because you have a certain level of continuity and you kind of know what the regular season is going to look like. But with this group, with so many new faces, three new starters, two young guys jumping into the real rotation for the first time, veterans joining the team, like for real, like Hezonja, who's played four seasons in the league, and Tolliver, who's played 12 seasons in the league, and Bazemore, who's a 30-year-old. I do think it matters somewhat that they have some positive minutes together. This isn't why I mentioned the veterans is like, this isn't necessarily growing pains with them. This is more just maybe they don't totally have the strongest grasp on the system yet. So having a good preseason game where you put stuff on tape that's clearly positive could have some value. But if they go out and they lose to Utah, even if they lose bad to Utah, I still don't think it matters, really. Not that it's not important. There is importance in developing good habits. That's kind of what preseason is for. And then during the preseason, if you're a playoff level team, it's what the regular season is for, is developing good habits for the playoffs. So I think it's important that they don't look like they looked in those first 8 minutes against the Suns, where their defense was just lazy and their offense wasn't sharp. And CJ McCollum scoring one-on-one and being very good at getting buckets was like kind of the only thing that went right. But if it doesn't go right, if Dame still kind of looks like he's waiting to turn it on, if Hassan Whiteside gets pushed around by one of the best centers in the league and Rudy Gobert, I am not going to worry yet. I have been super clear in this podcast that I think the Blazers have looked like doo-doo in the preseason. But when the games count on October 23rd, when the Denver Nuggets come to the Moda Center, that's when I'll start to worry. When the Blazers play 15 of their first 20 games on the road, we'll know if they're good or not. So while I think there is some value in getting the vets up to speed, getting the young guys comfortable in this preseason game, I still won't read too much into it. I'll probably kill them on the first section of this podcast. I'll probably say they stunk again, because that's who I am, and I'll be honest about it. That if they stink, they stink. But I don't want to draw conclusions. I don't want to think that it matters. I would just want to be clear about if they play bad, they played bad. But when the games count, it's a totally different feeling. I've drawn some conclusions during this preseason about sort of functionally what the rotation will look like. And hell, I've even said that Mario Hezonja is bad in the half court. That's a specific conclusion about a specific player after very, very few minutes. And I kind of stand by those conclusions, because I do trust just watching this team play a little bit that you get a sense of them. But if the Blazers go 0 for preseason, except for the win over Maccabi Haifa, I don't think it's an indicator of anything other than them having a bad preseason. So sure, against Utah, you'd like to see them play well, because it would suggest that they're headed in the right direction, that they've kind of cleaned up some of those effort and sloppiness issues, that their execution is getting a little bit sharper, that their perimeter defense isn't as lazy, they're finding shooters, they're chasing guys off the line, they're doing the things that they've talked about in preseason, which is being a better defensive team and playing championship level basketball. But if they don't play championship level basketball, throw it out. Ignore it, wait for opening night, save your judgments till the end of November. There's plenty of time to figure out if this team is good or not. This week doesn't matter. So thanks for listening to me overreact about stuff that I tell you didn't matter. But I truly believe it. I think you can learn things, I think you can start to draw conclusions, but I think you can pretty quickly move past the results. If it's meaningful, we'll point back to it at some point and say, we kind of saw this coming. But it might not be meaningful. It's hard to say whether Hassan Whiteside is someone who doesn't care about the preseason because he's played in the league long enough to know the regular season games count. It's hard to know if the Blazers' offense looks a little bit clunky because they just haven't installed that much stuff because they don't want to show all of their things in preseason, and they'll have more exotic execution, more exotic plays once the regular season starts. The offense will look significantly different and better. You'd like them to play better, but it doesn't matter if they look what they really look like this week. That's my scorching hot, ice-cold take. We are getting close to real games. I think the game against the Jazz will look like a real game for the most part. We're about 10 days away from not having to think will it look like a real game, just straight up playing real games. Which means that podcast all week talking about what's happening, the news on this team. Tell your friends about this podcast. They can find it wherever they already get podcasts. That's Google, Apple, Stitcher, and Spotify. Appreciate you guys listening. Rocking with me. Talk to you soon.